Samuel is filled with the Spirit. Can we say it together? With the Spirit. So open your Bible to Acts 2. I'm going to read verse 1 to 4. Acts chapter 2. Verse 1. No, Acts chapter 1 first. Acts chapter 1 verse 4 to 8. Acts chapter 1 verse 4 to 8. Yes, do you have it? Acts 1, 4 to 8. We're looking at filled with the Spirit. Acts 1, 4 to 8. Yes, who's ready? Acts 1, 4 to 8. Okay. Acts 1, 4 to 8. Please tell us the version.
New Living Translation.
Okay.
Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth."
Amen. Amen. Why did Jesus tell them not to leave Jerusalem? Yeah? So this was Jesus. While he was on earth, he did a lot of miracles. Yeah? He was their leader. He was their mentor. He was there for them. Yeah? Both spiritually and physically. But now Jesus is ascending back to heaven. You didn't hear them saying, "Lord, please don't go. Don't leave us alone here." Yeah? Yeah? So Jesus is going. So, of course, they are going to feel what? How are they going to feel when Jesus is going? How do they feel? They feel what? Scared, yes. More?
Lonely,
yes. More? How do you think you feel? Jesus has been with them for 3.5 years. They are super champion. Doing it all. Now, he's going back to heaven. Helpless, yes. More? Confused, yes. Uncertain. Yeah, the other one? Any other one coming to mind? Sad, intimidated. Sorry? Abandoned. I'm looking for one golden word. All of them are good. One more. See? Yes. One more. Let me give you the clue. Someone has been there for you. It's been your rock. It's been your strength, your shield. And now they're going. It's near. It's near. It's a longer word.
Lost.
No, it's a longer word starting with V. I'm saying what you wanted to say.
I'm going to say seriously disappointed.
Yes. It's disappointing. Vulnerable. You're going to feel vulnerable. I'm not saying that's a perfect answer. I wanted to bring that out. All your answers were correct. You're going to feel vulnerable. Amen? And there are times in your journey, yeah, in your Christian journey, that you feel vulnerable. I want you to know that. You know, we have to speak truth. You know. And the reason is that you are also an emotional being. Amen? You are living in a body, yeah, and also in a soul. Amen? And in the body and in the soul, there's weakness. Yeah? There's the weakness of the flesh. Yeah? There's the weakness of the emotions. Okay? Now, emotions are not all bad. Emotions can be good. I dare say that without emotions, you can't live you can't have a good life. You can't be happy. You can't be excited. You know, you can't be, what are the positive emotions? Yeah? Happy, excited, any other one? Positive emotion? What? Joyful, happy, yeah, any other positive emotion? Happy, excited, what else? If you don't have emotion, probably you can't even be impressed. No matter how hard they're trying, your face is just blank. Yeah? So emotions can be good. Yeah? but they can also be bad. The problem is not the emotion. You see, your emotional part of you is a blessing from God. It's sin that corrupted emotions. Amen? Now, when we at the end of this world, when we get resurrected, we'll still have emotions, but they'll be perfect. They'll be perfect emotions. No more broken emotions. Amen? But as a man, as a human being living in the flesh, you can feel vulnerable. Amen? But it's not the plan of Jesus to remain in this world forever. Yeah? Because as a physical being, will he be jumping from Jerusalem to what? Jordan? Or to where in the UK? From Land's End to where do you say? Yeah. You know? You need something better than that. Yeah? Because if Jesus limited in a physical body, it can't be there for all of you at one time. Amen? So that's why he said that there is a gift of the Father. Yeah? It's the promise of the Father. It's in the plan. Say what you say, it's in the plan. It's not an extra, it's in the plan. And the plan is that when Jesus finishes his job, the Holy Spirit comes, yeah, to take over. Because the Holy Spirit is everywhere at the same time. Have you ever heard of multitasking? Amen. He's a super multitasker. Amen. He can be ministering to me and ministering to you at the same time. And takes nothing away from him. Hallelujah. And so the gift of the Father is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. What has he come to do? He has come to work. When you are weak, what do you need? You need strength. You need power. Amen. He has come to what? Empower you. Now, that empowerment is, think about the word, it applies to every kind of weakness. Amen? Every kind. When you are low, he has come to what? To lift you up. It's still empowerment. Amen? When you are physically weak or even sick, he has come to what? Quicken you. Amen? When you are limited in your mental capability, there's a problem. Like happened to Solomon. Two people come to me and say, this baby is ours. Solomon does not know the owner of the baby. So how do you decide? His brain cannot help him. Then the Holy Spirit comes with wisdom. Yeah? And he's able to say, okay, you know, do this. And that way he finds out the real mother of the baby. Yeah? That's still empowerment. But wisdom, supernatural wisdom is empowerment. Supernatural knowledge. Someone comes to you and is lying to you. And say, you know, this happened. Then God opened your eyes and you had a short vision. And you saw exactly what happened. Yeah? And you're able to decode the mystery. That's empowerment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are trying to pray. But you are falling asleep. What do you need? You need help. Amen? The Holy Spirit, when it comes upon you, yeah, it gives you empowerment to pray beyond your natural ability. Maybe the best you've ever done in your prayer is 5 minutes. Yeah? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, fill you, you see that you cannot go 30 minutes. You can go 1 hour. You can go 2 hours. What are you doing there for 2 hours? I'm praying. Hallelujah. He's empowering you. And you need that empowerment if you're going to become everything that God has called you to be. Because in your power, in your own natural power, yeah, there's a limit. Your mental capability has a limit. If you met someone who feels more stronger than you, like maybe like you're struggling to read, I don't know. What subject do you like to study?
I like studying.
Yeah. What subject do you hate to study?
Hate?
Yeah. I don't want to say like hate, but you don't really like it.
Chemistry.
So you are trying to study chemistry, and after how many minutes?
After five minutes,
you are struggling. Amen? And then you have someone over there. Let's find someone over there. Who likes chemistry? Let's assume Sharon. Do you like chemistry? No. Okay. Who likes chemistry? Yes, thank you. Yeah. So he likes chemistry, yeah? So how long do you like to study chemistry for, like before you get fed up?
I'd say about 40 minutes.
40 minutes? Yeah? So you are strong at 5 minutes, but he has a, you know, he has a better mental capability for chemistry. Maybe not for cooking, but for chemistry. You got it? So he goes 40 minutes, but he's going to get to the point where his capability will still fail. This is what I'm going to say, that the human capability is limited. Some are stronger than others, but even the strongest of us, there's a limit. Amen. So we all need what? The empowerment of the Spirit. Sometimes we call this grace. It's still the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He has come to empower you. That's why Jesus said, you will receive what? Power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Amen. But I want to make another point there. Open your Bible to Acts 1 and read verse 8. Let's read it. So I don't want to do a long teaching because I would like us to pray. And I like you, you know, like you to be prayed for today. As part of the sermon. Yes, so Acts 1:8. Yes. Someone who has not spoken today. I like to keep you active. Yes, Acts 1:8. Who's ready? Acts 1:8. Yes, yes. Acts 1:8.
Acts 1:8.
Yes.
I'm reading on New King James, please. But ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth.
Amen. Thank God he said all the ends of the like this is one of the ends of the earth. Amen. It covers everywhere. Amen. It's anywhere you are. Now, the point I want to make there is that the purpose of the power of the Holy Spirit upon your life is not for a selfish agenda. It's not for selfish ambition. Amen. Amen. You don't need the Holy Spirit's power for selfish ambition. Just invest yourself selfishly. The purpose of the Holy Spirit power upon you is to bring glory to the Father. The purpose of the Holy Spirit power upon you is to promote righteousness. Is to advance the kingdom. Let me say it another way. Is to do the works of Christ. What are the works of Christ? Do you know the works of Christ? Open your Bible to Luke chapter 4 verse 18. Luke chapter 4 verse 18. The works of Christ. What are the works of Christ? Jesus himself told you. Luke 4 18. Yes? Who's ready? Luke 4 18. Someone say, I need power. I need power. What do you need power for? So that I can have the best result in my GCSEs. Why? So that I can get the award. Who's ready? Luke 4 18. Luke 4 18. I'll come to you. Let's take the first version. Luke 4 18.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon
me. That's Jesus speaking. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That is Jesus speaking. Why?
Because he has anointed me.
He has anointed me. To be anointed, yeah? A simple way to describe it is to be empowered. Yeah? By the Holy Spirit. Yes?
To preach the gospel to the poor.
To preach the gospel. If you're in another version, talk about the good news to the poor. And a better word for that poor is not just financially poor, but the meek, the lowly. Yeah, continue.
He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted.
To heal the brokenhearted. There are many brokenhearted people in the UK. Yeah? And in the world. Yeah? There are many people that are depressed in the UK and in the world. There are many people that they are messed up inside. Yeah? Sometimes when you see someone, you know, behaving in an aggressive way or in a funny way, yeah? Before you judge them, you don't know what's going on inside. You don't know whether somebody has just stolen their song. Yeah? And they're just reacting. Yeah? Sometimes people are just, you know, sometimes people are mean to you, yeah? But it's because they are reacting to frustration inside. Yeah? And part of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, yeah, is to bring healing. To what? to the brokenhearted. Because that thing, what's going on in Jesus, is controlling them. Yeah? They are seeking for release. But that can only come to the power of God. But anytime God's power wants to work, God needs a vessel. God's power always flows. Have you ever noticed that electricity always flows through a socket and a cable? Yeah? Electricity needs a cable to flow. God's power needs a vessel to come out and reach people. Yeah, continue, please.
To proclaim liberty to what?
The captive. There are people that are captive to anything. For example, some people are captive to fear. Yeah? Some people are captive to lust. They can't help themselves. They are trying, but they can't. Somebody needs to come in and help them. Yeah? But how can you help someone if you yourself are struggling? You need what? Power. When you receive power, you can only give what you've received. Amen? You cannot give what you don't have. Can you give what you don't have? No. But when you are empowered, yeah? And those people come in contact with you, or you come in contact with them, God will use you as an extension of himself to help them. And you know the beautiful thing? When they have been helped, God will use them to help others. Amen? That's how God changes life. That's how God restores life. Continue, please.
And recover the sight to the blind.
And recovery of sight to who?
The blind.
To the blind. Before you go, let me pause there. Many times I feel that we don't understand those verses. We need to understand them. The blind, yeah? There are two categories of blind people. Who are they? Two categories. Tell me which two categories of blind people.
Which cannot see.
Yes.
And the second one is, I think, the people are not aware of spiritually Isaac and
Isaac. Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much. It's one thing to be physically blind, but it's another thing to be what? Spiritually blind. What do you think is? What do you think is the bigger problem? Hallelujah. The number of people that are spiritually blind is more than 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times the number of people that are physically blind. Amen? Amen? Now, in the physical, we know what a problem it means to be blind. It's really cost off a big part of your world, isn't it? But it's a problem, but it's not the biggest problem. The biggest problem is to be spiritually blind. You can't see. Now, if you are spiritually blind, what happens to you? How will you live your life? What are the words? Someone is spiritually blind. How will they live their life?
I'm just basically living in a sin.
Sinfully, yes. More. If someone is blind, they can't see spiritually. So what are they going to do?
They'll live their life recklessly.
Recklessly, yes. Yes, those are the words I'm looking for. More? One more word I'm looking for. Start with F. They will live foolishly. Because they can't see. Amen? Now, the Holy Spirit upon you, yeah, as you yield to the Holy Spirit and he's walking through you, yeah, it will use you to help others to what? To see. Amen. You see, when people cannot see, you can't just condemn them. Yeah? If they can't see you, they need help. Hello? Hello? If someone cannot see, don't go about boasting and say, I can see, I'm better. They need help. But you can't help them without the Holy Spirit. Amen. In fact, actually, we were all spiritually blind at one time. It is the mercy of God, yeah, and the grace of God that has brought us to the point of seeing. But God wants to multiply that. Hallelujah. So when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, yeah, there is a grace upon your life that as you interact with people, they will begin to what? To see. Is that not a good thing? Because the moment you are able to see, your life will start going in the right direction. Amen. See, when you can see, you are much more unlikely to stumble. You're much more likely to fall into the drain or live in the drain. You can see. Amen. When you see someone doing the wrong thing, yeah, over and over again, they are spiritually blind. they can't say. Amen? But that's not the end. They need help. Amen? But you can't help them when you are still trying to help yourself. And that's why you need the power of the Holy Spirit. You need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So what Jesus was saying is that when you receive that fullness, yeah, it's easier for you to do my works. Hallelujah. And you see, if you go around the world with the fullness of the Spirit, yeah, you'll be a little Jesus that God will be using to touch other lives. Yeah? Amen? Don't you want to be like that? Don't you want to be like that? Say with this, I want to be like Jesus. He's my role model. I'm telling you the truth. Matter of factly, he's my what? He's my role model. Yeah? That's what I aspire to be like. Yeah? That's my life ambition. Amen? I don't know whether you want to be the president, but I want to be like Jesus. Amen? Amen? If you can achieve that, I'm happy. Amen? Jesus brings healing. He brings transformation. He brings deliverance. He brings hope. He sets the captives free. That's who you can be. And you need the help of the Holy Spirit. In fact, you need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So Acts 2, 1 to 4. Let's do that quickly. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Acts 2, 1 to 4. Acts 2, 1 to 4. Who is ready? Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Yes? Who has been quiet? Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Please follow in your Bible.
I'm reading from NKJV.
Yes.
When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Amen. They were what? All. How many? All. That tells you that it's for every believer. Except for those who don't want it. God cannot give you what you don't want. Amen. Some say, to me, I don't like to speak in tongues. God will not force you. Amen. If you don't want it, God will keep it. Amen. But it's an offer. Because it's for your benefit. Amen. It's not for God's benefit. It's for your benefit. Amen. No, so they were all filled with the Spirit. Say with me, say, I desire to be filled. Let me change it. To be always filled with the Spirit. Let me just address two issues. One is that if you have never received the Holy Spirit, so let's just explain some few things there. The Holy Spirit comes upon you. It's an experience. When you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. But when you're filled, it comes to fill you to the full. It's a deeper experience. It's like moving from shallow water to deep water. Do you get it? It's the same Holy Spirit. It's not a different spirit. You're just moving to the deeper end of the pool. If you know how to swim. Amen. What's the difference between the shallow end and the deeper end of the pool? Anybody that's been in water? Depth, obviously. But in terms of experience, if you swim from shallow to deep end of the pool, what's your experience in the water? Anybody who has done that, a swimmer.
Looks like if I don't know how to swim, I'll die.
Okay, I'm talking about that. You know how to swim. What's even your experience from shallow end to deep end? Yes, any swimmer here? Yes, thank you.
In the shallow end, you're more stable, you mm-hmm. know. And then in the deeper end, you have to put more effort into staying up.
Yeah, why?
Because
the water has a greater control or impact over you.
I don't know how to explain.
Yes, that's let me. One more person. Yes, shallow end, deep end.
If you get into trouble in the shallow end, you can just stand up.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you get into the trouble in the deep end.
Yeah. You can't, yes. So, let me explain spiritually. In the shallow end, yeah, your flesh is having more control than your spirit. Is it a battle between the mental realm, reason, the emotional realm, feelings, and the spiritual? And this is a constant battle all your life, you know? In a Christian life, you know the word of God, you know the will of God, but you also have a brain. And your brain is not useless. Yeah? If I come to you as a pastor, I say, put your hand in that hot water. That's what God is saying. Your brain will tell you, it's hot. Yeah? And it's not useless. There's a reason why it's there. It's a checker. Yeah? So you don't go and kill yourself in the name of the Lord. Yeah? You have your feelings. But as you move from shallow to deep end, you in the flesh, your flesh has less control. And you are becoming more and more submerged, yeah, to the full influence of the water of the Spirit. Amen? Now, the Holy Spirit will never drown you. Amen? So we say, the Holy Spirit will only bless me. It won't drown me. If it's a spirit of the devil, yes, beware. You don't want to yield to a spirit of the devil. You don't want to yield to a familiar spirit or a wrong spirit. They will drown you. But the Holy Spirit will not. He will only bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, and let me say another thing. You can't stay on the deep end forever. Yeah? Because you are still human. Yeah? You must keep going. Yeah? And coming and going and coming according to the need. Amen? Because you are human. Hallelujah. Coming back to what we're saying, when you are filled with the Spirit, you come under a stronger influence of the Holy Spirit. And that's what you want. I need a stronger influence of the Holy Spirit. I want what you see of me to be less of me and more of Him. Amen? Less of flesh. Less of self-promotion. Yeah? You know, there's a lot of self-promotion in the church. But that's not spirituality. Spirituality is not self-promotion. Spirituality is not like, we have the best choir in town. That's not spirituality. Yeah? It's self-promotion. Spirituality is about yieldedness to God. Yieldedness to the Spirit. Being under His influence. Under His power. Spirituality is about being used of God to touch other people's lives. To set the captives free. To bring healing to the broken hearted. To bring salvation to the lost. To bring deliverance to the captives. To bring healing, physical healing, to those who are sick. Hallelujah. That is spirituality. Hallelujah. And it's not for gain. It's not doing this so that people can bring you fat money. No. You're doing it so that they can experience the touch of God. Hallelujah. Of course, if you do it and people bless you, fine. It has to be voluntary. It's not for money, for gain. If they want to bless, they can't do it. But that's not why you are ministering to them. You are ministering to them because it's freely. Freely you have received. And freely you give. The ultimate goal is that lives can be transformed. Destinies can be changed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I want more of the Holy Spirit. Okay, I just see one part and then we'll go into prayer. And the part is that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, He also comes upon you with spiritual gifts. And one of those gifts of the Spirit, as you can see in Acts 2:4, is what? He's speaking in tongues. And I will just quickly address that briefly, then we'll go into prayer. Speaking in tongues is a spiritual thing. Yeah? It's not coming from your brain. It's coming from your yieldedness. Let me just explain that again. See, for you to talk, every time you speak your language, whether you're speaking English or Urdu, thank you for correcting me. There's a proper way. There's a proper way to say it. And we need lots of training. Someone taught me to say, like, when you're growing up,
your tongue is trained in the language of your mother tongue. There are some words you will struggle to pronounce all your life because you were not trained early in that tongue. So your tongue has learned to function in a particular way. It takes a lot of training to do it differently. Yeah, but thank you. Thank you. I like the way you said it. It's beautiful. It's very beautiful in your tongue. Amen. Hallelujah. So, when you are speaking your language, your brain is in control. Amen. If we take a moment and disconnect your brain while you are speaking, what will you be speaking? So you were speaking, yeah, nice, how do you say it? Nice, what's the language again?
Urdu.
Thank you. I can't match that beautiful pronunciation. Then we disconnect your brain momentarily. But you are kept speaking. What will you be speaking now? What?
Kibarish.
Amen? Because you need the brain to speak coherently. Does it make sense? No? If your brain is disconnected, you become incoherent. You are still speaking, but it's not coherent. Are you with me? So when you're speaking in tongues, it's not a function of your brain. It's a function of your yieldedness. Hallelujah. You yield to the Holy Spirit. Yeah? You yield to the influence of the Holy Spirit. You let the Holy Spirit pour out through you. Amen. Amen. Now, if you've never spoken in tongues, most likely, but not all the time, you will start with some few syllables. Because that's exactly how you started speaking as a human being. Yeah? But as you continue to yield, you will continue to what? To flow. Now, I need to really explain this. The Holy Spirit present in you is not the tongues. It is the power. Amen? What I really need the Holy Spirit for in me is power. But speaking in tongues is one of the expressions of power. It's not the only expression. It's one of nine. Amen? But it's one of the expressions. Because all the gifts of the Spirit depend on your ability to yield. Yeah? If you can't yield, you're going back to brain function and feelings. But when you yield, you disconnect from brain and feelings and let the Holy Spirit flow through you. Are you with me? Any question before we go to prayer? Any question? Any question about the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, speaking in tongues? Anyone? Anyone? I can take one or two questions. Anyone?
When you say different tongues.
Yeah.
Because I was reading in some way that this says that you have to know about... When you're saying the tongues, then you have to know the... How to translate. I can call it translation as well. Yes.
So you can only translate a learned tongue. If a tongue can be learned, it can be translated. It's a brain function. Amen? Translation is what? A function of what? The brain. That does not apply to speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is not necessarily, yeah, human language. It can be. I mean, like, the Holy Spirit wanted to, you know, if I travel to Pakistan, I needed to talk, and there's no interpreter, those people can speak through me. But as I was trying to explain last week, as far as me speaking is concerned, I'm speaking gibberish. It's the people hearing me that will hear something that makes sense. Because my brain has nothing to do with it. You see that? It's completely supernatural. I'm speaking, but I don't understand what I'm speaking. Because the Holy Spirit is speaking through me. But if you want to speak to somebody specifically, they can understand. But I am speaking, I don't understand because it's supernatural. Does it make sense what I'm saying? So in tongues, it's not translation. The best you can get is interpretation. So for example, someone speaks in tongues, yeah, and as you are hearing it, the Holy Spirit is telling you a message from what you are hearing.
It's not a translation. It's an interpretation. Because it's a spiritual thing. Do you get it? So, you pray in tongues, but God understands everything you're saying. Amen? And you sometimes you have something in your heart you want to pray about that is really burdening you, that you can't find the words. You've used all the words in the vocabulary, but you are still burdened. Yeah? That's why we pray in tongues. Because when I'm praying in tongues, I'm able to pour out my heart beyond what my words can express. And God understands what my heart is saying. It doesn't need translation. Hallelujah. But if I came to preach today, like in church, I came to preach and I started preaching to you in tongues, what will you do? What will you do? Like all my message today is in tongues, what will you do?
I might walk out because I'm not understanding anything.
What will you do?
Oh, keep looking at your face.
Yeah? You probably, either you walk away or you ask somebody to, please, can you interpret what pastor is saying today? Oh, is pastor okay? Amen. So, we are going to pray now. And the first step you want to do, what I really want you to do today is, if you've never had an experience of being filled. Now remember, when you are filled, you will know that you are what? Filled. It's like you have a cup and the cup is full. It's overflowing. No one needs to tell you. It's pouring over. If you never had that experience, I want you to ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is already in you. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. You are only seeking for a deeper experience. You are seeking to move from shallow world. You could have been swimming all your life at surface or even using a floater. Yeah? But now you want to go to the deep end. Amen? But remember, to go to the deep end, you must be willing to release yourself and let Him fill you. If you are holding tightly to your float at the top, you're never going to go to the deep end. Yeah? It's an act of yielding. So you want to ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. Now, that is one category. But there are other categories. You are here. You've spoken in tongues before. But your life has no fire. You lost the fire. Your love has run cold. You are colder than someone who is not even born again. Yeah? It's a dangerous place to be. Spiritually. You need a fresh, what? Feeling. So if you have received before, but you are not on fire, you know. Nobody needs to tell you. You yourself know your story. You need to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I'm not on fire. Yeah? I've run cold. I've moved now to the mental and emotional realm. My Christianity is all about my brain. Yeah? And my feelings. Yeah? I'm more stimulated by the things I see and things I feel rather than things of the Spirit. You are cold. You need fire. Pray and say, Holy Spirit, come on. You have to, but I will tell you that if you're in that situation, repent. Because you never lose fire without being careless and reckless. Repent and say, Holy Spirit, fill me afresh. I want a freshening. I want more. And the final third category is that, you know, you're on fire. But, you know, there's much more that God has for you. Yeah? Ask for more of the Spirit. The Bible says that God filled Jesus with the Holy Spirit without measure. No wonder He did marvelous things. All true. So you need more. You can't rendezvous. Because if you do, you will now begin to, you go back to the rat race of the flesh. You'll be competing with unbelievers in their race. Whether you are called to a spiritual race, not a physical race. So let's rise up today now. And according to your need, I want you to talk to God. Luke 11 says, if you, as human fathers, your son comes to you and says, I need bread. You're not going to give him what? A stone. He said, I want fish. You're not going to give him a serpent. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So, if you have never had the experience of being full of this, we just pray now and say, Father God, I want the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and pray that prayer if that applies to you. On the other hand, you are here, you have lost, there was a time in your life you had spiritual fire, you were vibrant, you are on fire for God. But now you are just about managing. You've lost the fire. I want you to pray and say, Holy Spirit, I don't want to remain like this. I want fresh fire. Fill me afresh. Come upon me. Fill me. In the name of Jesus, fill me. I yield to you. I repent where I've been reckless or careless in my Christian life and taking God for granted, taking the things of God for granted. But today, I want that fresh feeling of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Just going to have somebody to sing. Where's one member of the choir? And then if for those who want to receive the fullness of the Spirit for the first time, you know, so this is by way of helping you, because that's provided for in the Bible, where people are prayed for, laid hands on, and they receive. You can come forward and I will pray for you to receive the baptism or the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And of course, when you're coming forward, one of the expressions you have is, it is okay and very right for you to expect to speak in tongues when you receive the fullness, because that's the pattern we see in the Bible. It's very right and you should expect it. Amen. So if you like prayer for that, please come forward quickly and I'll pray for you. It's for your benefit. It's for what? Your benefit. It's for what? Your benefit. Now, it doesn't matter whether you're young or old. I got baptized the Holy Spirit and filled the Holy Spirit when I was 10 years old. 10. I've never looked back. Hallelujah. So that belongs to you.